May our Lord's presence, which we celebrate in Jesus' birth, be more real to you today and in this season. And this presence be more real to you than any and all of any troubles you experience. We have an affirmation of our faith at Daleville Christian Church, and in this affirmation, taken from the letter of the apostle to the churches in Philippi, he proclaims this mystery, we often call it, of God coming to earth through Jesus. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. Christ Jesus, or as we will talk about in today's message, Messiah Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The reading of God's word for today is from Luke's Gospel in the first chapter, verses 26 through 38. This is the announcement to Mary, mother of Jesus, of the birth of Jesus, which is to take place. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. During this pandemic, many started to do their Christmas earlier than in 2019, just for the purpose of having something to look forward to begin to lighten the mood and bring a little light of joy into everyday life, because pandemic life can be bleak, and pandemic life might be bleak where you are or in your situation. As for me, I've decided that regular Christmas anticipation, regular Christmas preparation, like I did last year, is not enough. Regular anticipation and Christmas preparation, when there wasn't a pandemic, that anticipation, that preparation will not be enough this year because of the pandemic. For me personally, anticipation and preparation for Christmas has always been a big part of the joy and the fun of the holiday. Wrapping gifts, cooking, decorating the house for ourselves and our guests. But this is a pandemic. There aren't going to be any guests. No families coming over. I'm going to have to come up with a pandemic Christmas strategy. Life this Christmas is not going to be the same as any other year at all, no matter how much tradition I participate in. People I care about have had their lives threatened by this coronavirus. They've been hospitalized. One guy's still recuperating, and he's 6 weeks from his first contact. So this virus can kill you in days, and if it doesn't kill you, it might cripple you for 2 months. Who needs that? If there was ever a time to make good on those Christmas songs, like I wish it could be Christmas every day, this may be the year to make the Christmas season every day. 12 days of Christmas is probably not enough Christmas in a pandemic. You or I might not get all 12 days. You see what I mean? Better make today Christmas Day. It's time for Christmas on steroids, which may be what your doctor is going to actually prescribe for you if you get COVID-19. So that's a little free advice from Pastor Gary McManus this holiday season, but I'm blessed and want you to be blessed because anticipation and preparation are the themes for this season before Christmas, the season the church calls Advent. Now, I didn't decide on this theme for the season before Christmas based on my personal issues. Still, the topic for me is very personal, and you might be blessed to know I'm preaching to myself. I admit that last Sunday was a time we covered a lot of topics around the theme of expectation with regard to the Messiah and the Bible. And I apologize for the late posting of the video of that worship service, but I assure you I had some unpleasant surprises along the way. I trust that those are behind us all now. So let's review a few points from last week's message. The theme for this year's Advent Christmas season at Daleville Christian Church is expectation. For the next several weeks, we consider expectation, anticipation, promise, fulfillment. What has been promised us by God that we celebrate at Christmas? What do we expect? To what do we look forward at Christmas and the coming year? What do the people in the Christmas stories of God's Word expect? For what, if anything, were they waiting? For what, if anything, were they anticipating or hoping for? Have we understood what has been promised us? Is our hope based on the Word or on the world? There is much in God's Word to explore this season. Last time we learned that there were some Jews who were ready to believe that the Messiah had come, but did not believe that it was Jesus. We read about them in the book of Acts. There were actually many more people, such as those mentioned in Acts, men like Thutis and Judas. There were more like them who claimed to be somebody or led movements, mostly violent uprisings in Judea and surrounding lands. It's just that those people are not in the Bible. Jesus wasn't the only person of whom it was said, "Here is the Messiah." So we can understand why some Jewish leadership were skeptical and even wary of Jesus, and we understand why the Roman authorities fretted about Jesus. Violent uprisings may also give some reason for Herod the Great to slaughter young children and infants, although Herod the Great, that was his title, to separate him from all the rest of his family. Herod was not a nice man. Herod had some of his own children murdered, so Herod would think nothing of having young children slain if he thought it was necessary to protect his own crown and throne. That also tells us what Herod might have been expecting with regard to any Messiah. For Herod was Jewish by family lineage, but not what we might call an observant Jew, and certainly not faithful. So what were people in Jesus' day expecting when anyone said the word Messiah? Messiah, the Hebrew word for or meaning the anointed one, is a word that came to have special meaning based on the prophecies and based on the writing of the learned. And now it's time for Pastor Gary McManus to teach us not to miss the obvious point here. The faith of the Christian and the faith of the Christian religion is based on the Jewish God of the Bible, and what the Bible promises, and the promises fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth, whom we call Christ, which is the Greek word for Messiah. I'll say that again. The faith of the Christian and the faith of the Christian religion is based on the Jewish God of the Bible, and what the Bible promises and the promises fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth, whom we call Christ, which is the Greek word for Messiah. We claim that Jesus was the Messiah promised by the God of the Old Testament. I cannot talk about a generic God. I can't claim generalities. I cannot talk about the joy of Christmas without talking about the gift of Jesus, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. I was once asked to do a funeral, but the family wasn't sure they wanted me to use the Bible in the funeral service. They weren't members of the church. I responded, "If I can't use the Bible, I have nothing to say. Why would anyone want to hear my personal opinions about life and death? Why not go to the source of all life, our God, who has revealed himself in his word, and this God who knows all about life and death? There you will find some comfort in grief and loss." So I may ask at this point, are your expectations about this God and this God's Messiah, are your expectations Bible-based? If your expectations are not Bible-based, I guarantee that you will be disappointed. Having said that, I also remind you that you and I serve the God of the surprise ending. The kind of Messiah that Jesus was biblical, and yet it surprised many, and some still couldn't grasp it. For example, Daleville Christian Church is a Bible-knowing congregation. We all believe God's word in 2 Corinthians, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. And we have that prophecy in Malachi, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple in the messenger of the covenant. But it still would have been a real stretch for people looking for the Messiah in Jesus' day to be expecting and looking for God himself to come as the Messiah. It's still a stretch for lots of people to say and believe God was in Christ. Let's face it, there are several ways a person could interpret that word of the prophet Messiah. But to say that the Lord himself in person would come to his temple, that would be the most difficult interpretation to come up with until Jesus is born. And Jesus came to his temple in Jerusalem. That's just an example. The Bible shows us someone else whose understanding of Messiah had to stretch a bit. And that was John the Baptist, whom I often call John the Baptizer, so folks don't think that John was a member of an American church. John the Baptizer, recorded twice in the gospel record. In Luke's gospel, when the men came from John the Baptizer to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptizer sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Matthew covers the same report. Matthew gives the answer to the question that was asked. Matthew gives the answer in the verse when John the Baptizer, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask. John heard about the deeds of the Messiah. So the answer is yes, Jesus is the one who is to come. In Luke's gospel, Jesus answers with those deeds of the Messiah, and then Jesus adds to that, "Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Why would Jesus have to say that? Because if you're not expecting a Messiah like Jesus, you will now stumble to hear that Jesus points to his own deeds as evidence that Jesus is indeed the expected one who is to come. Now, for those who might wonder why John feels that John has to ask the question at all, especially since John is reported in John's gospel as declaring, "Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world," there's a long answer to that, but let me just say this. Some of us believe that inspired people can be inspired to say things they may not fully understand, just as Jesus said things that the disciples didn't understand until after the resurrection. But Jesus still said those things before Jesus was crucified. Just as you want your preacher to say things that the preacher might not fully understand because they're God's word. You wouldn't want the preacher to limit his words to only what the preacher understands. I mean, is it or is it not a peace that is beyond understanding, as stated by the Apostle Paul? So we ask ourselves, is Jesus the Messiah, the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? The whole Christmas season depends on the faithful answer, now is born the divine Christ child. Now is born the divine Messiah child. The angels declared it to the shepherds. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah the Lord. One more response to the Messiah we should notice. We want to notice it because we looked at Zechariah's response last week, the answer to Zechariah's personal prayer. You recall Zechariah was pessimistic about the angel Gabriel's announcement of the coming birth of John. So let's notice Messiah's mother, Mary, before Jesus was born. The same angel Gabriel spoke to Zechariah, laid out the expectations to Mary. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Remember John's father's response. Mary's response, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. And you may read this several ways, several versions of this verse. Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it happen to me as you have said. I am the Lord's slave, said Mary. May it be done to me according to your word. So are your expectations for the one whose coming was foretold to you? Or have you been expecting another? Have you been expecting a different Messiah? Or are you answering with Mary, let it be done, Lord, according to your word? One way for us to deal with our own expectations is to take stock of our present situation. But let me suggest to you some ways to talk about our present situation. Do you experience sin in your life? Do you experience some distance from God? Have you been experiencing any distance from God? Well, then you will certainly want to celebrate the coming of Jesus, Messiah, for the angel's words said it to Joseph, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And the angel said to the shepherds, to you is born this day a Savior. If that's a part of your present situation, you can celebrate the birth of Jesus because the God of the Hebrews has sent his anointed to you and for you. In your situation, do you feel alone? Do you feel misunderstood? Do you feel separated from the source of life? Well, then you too may celebrate the birth of Jesus. The angel said that the Savior was to be born to you. This Savior is to be born into a family, so the Savior is going to work to make that life blessed. Human life, family life. Jesus will deal with all the issues you and I deal with. Temptation. And we know before his death, Jesus was abused and rejected. Celebrate the birth of Jesus, Messiah, Savior. For the God of the Hebrews has sent his anointed to you and for you. in your situation? Does your present situation include sickness? The threat of sickness? Any sickness that robs you of some of the pleasures of life or profitable work? Or a sickness that robs you of friends, associates, colleagues, comrades? Then you too should celebrate the birth of Jesus, Messiah. When John the Baptizer posed his question, Jesus pointed to the works of the Messiah. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. If your situation includes any of that, Jesus' birth is a reason to celebrate. For the God of the Hebrews has sent his anointed to you and for you. Gabriel's words to Mary, Jesus was the Son of the Most High, the Son of God himself. His kingdom will never end. Jesus' presence and promise are not temporary. They shall never end, ever. You too may celebrate the birth of Jesus, Messiah. Amen.